our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've always loved this psalm. And when I was in clinical pastoral education one summer during seminary, I decided to memorize it. Partly, I just wanted to see if my aging brain could do it. And partly, because I wanted to internalize the comforting words as I was making rounds in a hospital comforting people. Today, I want to reminisce about what the psalm has meant to me. First, I think about the stories of David. David, the youngest son of Jesse, was tasked with keeping the sheep while his father and older brothers took care of more important business. When King Saul, the first king of Israel, fell into disfavor with God, God sent his prophet Samuel to Jesse to anoint the new king. Jesse proudly paraded his sons in front of Samuel, and Samuel said, "Nope, not that one. Nope, not that one. Nope, not that one." Finally, Samuel asked Jesse, "Don't you have any more sons?" And Jesse said, "Well, yeah, little David. He's out watching the sheep." Samuel said, "Call him." And when Samuel sees David, God tells him, "David's the one." I really tell this story because it tells me that King David, the writer of the 23rd Psalm, knew what it meant to be a shepherd. He knew what it meant to protect them from wild beasts and had become proficient with a sling. Remember the story of David and Goliath, where he kills the giant Goliath with his sling? David knew what it meant to lead sheep to a place where they could eat fresh green grass and drink pure water. He knew how to lead sheep with the tools of his trade, the rod and the staff. He knew that the sheep would want for nothing as long as the shepherd was there to care for them. Even though shepherds were not particularly respected by the Jews, David saw the parallel between being a sheep and needing the care of a shepherd, and being a child of God and needing God's care. While shepherds were not particularly honored, sheep were known to be dumb and prone to getting lost. David humbly equated himself to a sheep and stated, "The Lord is my shepherd." With God as his shepherd, he knew he would not want. With God as his shepherd, he would not have trouble finding a green meadow or a place to lie down. With God as his shepherd, he would have no trouble finding safe water to drink. David had a close relationship with God, but it was not without challenge. As you recall, David once allowed his wandering eyes to fall on beautiful Bathsheba. Because he wanted Bathsheba, he caused her husband Uriah to be placed in a dangerous part of the battle, and Uriah was killed. God was not pleased. He was not pleased with David's behavior, and he sent the prophet Nathan to the king. Nathan cleverly captured David's attention with a story about a lamb. Nathan told of a rich man who had many lambs and a neighbor to the rich man who had a single pet lamb. When the rich man had a guest come to visit, instead of killing one of his own lambs to feed the guest, he took the neighbor's pet lamb and killed it. When David heard this story, he was incensed and condemned the rich man to death. Nathan said to David, in some of the bravest words spoken to power in the Bible, "You are the man." David, a protector of lambs, a shepherd himself, was remorseful, but nonetheless was punished by God for his sin. However, David knew that God could forgive even his egregious sin. After all, the Lord is his shepherd. He will restore his soul and lead him in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We often think of righteousness as being on the right side of the law, but as those who have sinned, we need to recognize that God restores us to right relationship with God. Even though we have earned punishment, we are placed back on the right path in right relationship with God. Having received God's forgiveness, God's grace, and God's mercy. It is grace because we have not earned it. It is mercy because the punishment we have earned is waived. We are comforted because we know that we will face dark valleys, but God, our shepherd, is with us. God does not take us by a different path. We still experience the valley of the shadow of death, but we have the comfort of God's presence. And God's presence and providence is represented by the table. God prepares a table before us. Jesus prepared a table before us. Of course, when David wrote the 23rd Psalm, communion, or the Lord's Supper, as we call it, or Eucharist, whatever you want to call it, had not been established as a sacrament. However, I cannot hear the 23rd Psalm and how God prepares a table before us without thinking of the table. This table. And the table is prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. That again reflects that God doesn't promise we will experience no danger. But it also reminds us that our enemies are also God's creatures, loved by God, and persons that Jesus ordered me to love as well. There's a saying, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. What better way to respond to enemies than to invite them to the table, the Lord's table? And in further sacramental symbolism, our cup runneth over. This image, again, is not rooted in the Lord's Supper, but can't help but make us think of the chalice, which symbolizes the generous sacrificial gift given by Jesus. A cup running over reminds me of our cultural saying, a bottomless cup. With a bottomless cup, we don't worry that it will ever run out. Like the miracle performed by Elijah when the widow's jug of oil lasted through an entire famine, we are told God's generosity never ends. David also talks about his head being anointed with oil. David's head was literally anointed with oil in the ceremony that indicated he would be king of Israel. However, an anointing with oil is also the symbol of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the sign of being adopted by God. We are anointed and adopted as children of God. We see this symbolism in our other sacrament, baptism. With God's presence with us, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. Goodness means that the purpose God has for us will be with us if we but open our eyes to true goodness. Mercy is the reminder that we will fail from time to time, but the punishment one might expect is not God's desire. God desires to relent and to restore us. The final phrase is translated in two different ways. I chose to read King James, which gives me the assurance of our future home with God. However, the NRSV states that we will live with God our whole life long. The beauty of this translation is that it reminds us that eternal life begins today. Our life today is with God present. Our life tomorrow is with God present. Our eternal life is with God present. Thanks be to God for this beautiful psalm that contains so much truth and beauty. Amen.